Welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast, where we talk to you about God, family, homesteading, frugal living, and all the in-between. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Matt, and we thank you for joining us today. Please take a minute to subscribe, and we hope you stay a while.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Matt.
And thanks so much for joining us today. We are in the car right now, so I'm going to apologize in advance for any audio occurrences that are not perfect, but we've had a really busy week. We are on the road. We just got done opening our camper, and Thomas is in the car too. Thomas, say hi.
Hi.
And we have Sleepy Josie, and then we have Sleepy Jacob back there. So we are just going to, you know, kind of come to you from our car this week because we are just all moving all over the place. So we figured we would do this. So again, bear with us. We apologize for any audio or visual problems that may occur while we're in the car. So we figured we would talk to you guys a little bit today about owning a camper because we are new camper owners. We just got a camper.
Pocket knife.
Oh yeah, Thomas has a pocket knife. It is a wooden pocket knife. It's kind of, he got that for Christmas, and so it's really fun to play with in the woods. But we are going to talk to you a little bit. Yeah, for Christmas. But we're going to talk to you guys a little bit today about just, you know, what we did and what we looked for when we got our camper. I've had a friend this week, you know, reach out to me about getting a camper. And, you know, just like the layout, you know, the length, things like that are really interesting, are, you know, things that you need to consider when getting a camper, where you're going to put your camper, if your vehicle can tow the camper, if you're even going to tow your camper, and things like that. So I'm going to let Matt start and just kind of let us know what kind of camper we got and why we chose what we chose.
Yeah, and I think we looked at the property that we are have access to for the camper to be on. You know, we had the ability that we could have built an actual structure there, but really wanted to be able to stay mobile with anything that we were doing, and the travel trailer really made the most sense for us to be able to do that. So didn't really want to take that on to make this happen. Which made a lot of the places that we went shopping for them difficult because they want to show you a brand new $45,000 trailer every time you go. And
yeah.
It's
I think our budget was under 15 for our camper, and we did well under 15, and so that was like really important to us. And so yeah,
we found it almost by accident. We had gone around doing the rounds.
We were so frustrated. It was like the end of the day. We
found it, you know, just getting on the turnpike in Pennsylvania to head back home from the center of the state, and just realized, you know, let's pull it up and see if we pass anything. Just happened to find a spot that had a couple that were worth looking at off the turnpike.
There was actually two that met our criteria and our budget, and I liked the other one better at first, but it's I know this is probably not even a big deal to some people, but it smelled so strongly of mothballs, which I understand why there was mothballs. They were doing it on purpose, you know, to keep pests and stuff out. But I was really concerned that we wouldn't rid the camper of that smell. So we ended up going with the other one.
Well, my thought process was if they needed that much in mothballs in there, how bad was the rodent problem or mice problem, whatever it is, in that camper? So. But really what actually ended up being our real determinant was just the actual soft spots that were in the camper. Because it's an older camper, if it's not maintained, if it's not cared for correctly, you're going to run into water spots, soft spots. So, you know, it's something to be aware of, especially if you are looking at an older model, is to get inside and feel all of the walls, the ceiling, the floor. Mm-hmm. We had a soft spot in the one that we ended up buying. The dealer, however, had said that they were going to have it repaired before before we even got to delivery appointment. So
yeah, and it was by the our camper has two doors, and it was by the door, so we obviously knew like where the water was coming from. It wasn't like in the middle of the camper, you know, like it was in a certain spot, and we knew that it was so small that it was worth the price, and they were gonna fix it. So that was really nice. We because we got our camper and we decided that we were just gonna park it. We didn't really pay too much attention to length and weight, but that is something that's really important when you are looking at a camper. If you have a tow vehicle, you want to make sure that you look at your tow vehicle specifications to see what your truck or vehicle is able to tow dry, and is it dry, and then like,
and then what's the actual weight, right?
So yeah,
the trailer is going to give you a dry weight, and the dry weight's nothing in it, right? But most trailers will have a 40 gallon clean water tank.
Yeah,
at 8 pounds per gallon, you're looking at 320 pounds just in water on that 40 gallon tank, right?
Yeah,
so all these things start adding up, and then all of a sudden you have an extra 3,000 or 4,000 pounds on top of your dry weight. Now you're above what your tow vehicle can actually handle.
Yeah,
it creates a problem.
Yeah, it's important to know like what you're like, if you're gonna travel around with your camper, like you need to be considerate of what you're gonna put in your camper when you like go on trips too, because everything does, you know, add to the weight of the camper. How big is our camper? It's 30 foot.
Yeah, so it's a 30 foot.
Okay.
It's 34 overall, but 30 foot internal. So, you know, queen size bed, bunkhouse.
Yeah.
The one thing that really appealed to us with ours is the bunk beds in the back actually fold up against the wall, so it has like a room when the beds are folded down. So
yeah,
if we're ever at the trailer and it starts raining,
there's like a play area.
We have to be inside. The kids have a play area inside,
which is really cool. Yeah, and so I'm gonna, at the end of this video, I took a bunch of pictures today of the inside. So I will, I'm gonna link all of those pictures at the end of the video. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast, you can go on YouTube at Faith Homestead, and you can see the pictures at the end of the video. And we apologize, there is a car next to us that has a very, very loud, I guess that's an exhaust, so I apologize for that. But yeah, so we were looking at campers, and obviously we needed to be able to sleep all our family of five. And so many campers have, you know, you can get a queen bed that has like a separate room. Some of them have queen beds that actually fold up into the air to save space, and then below that it'll become a couch. Many campers have the dining area and the sofa area that will lay flat and become, you know, more sleeping space. But we really wanted an area for our children to kind of have, like, you know, their own little area. I would have preferred a walk-in bunkhouse, which is what, like, basically, like, you actually like walk into that room and then there's bunk beds on each side. But when you get those types of campers, they cost a lot more, the ones that have like the really like the two separate like rooms on each end of the camper. But we ended up getting a one that was, you know, kind of the best of both worlds, because like Matt said, we're able to like fold our children's bunk beds up, and then they have this like whole play area. And also, if you don't have kids, or if you have kids that are no longer going to need that play area, you can also store things, like when your camper's closed down for the winter, it really can even act like a storage, like a whole storage facility in the back of your camper. I would say the space is probably like 5x5 in the back.
At least.
Yeah, 5x5 or a little bit bigger. And when you're camping and space is really, you know, limited, 5x5 floor to ceiling can be a good amount of space for things that you don't want to have to tote home. You know, during the off season. So that was something that we really thought was cool. We also got a camper for, I guess you would say, the prepper side of things, because we like the idea of having a home away from home if we ever needed to get away from our house. You know, having a, the prepper terms are like the bug out location, but we just, you know, look at it as an area to just, you know, get away, but also have, you know, a place to kind of, you know, use for a vacation, which is really nice. I also wanted to talk to you guys this week, give you guys kind of an update on our planting and our growing season this year. We are something that I noticed too, which was really interesting. It's not really interesting, it's kind of obvious, but I didn't really take it. When you live in an area and you're used to the seasons and you're used to the temperature, at home right now where we live, you know, the trees have been in bloom for about a month now and the leaves are quite big, and we drove about 2.5 hours north today and they're about a month behind. So it's always important to understand, you know, if you're gonna, you know, grow things in a different location, how far behind or ahead you are where you're going. But anyway, so that just brings me to our gardening situation. We are at the point now where we are hardening off our vegetables. And if you remember what that means, hardening off is when so you started your seeds indoors. Your produce has been in a, you know, in the window, under lights, in an inside greenhouse for the last several weeks. Most people, probably 6 to 8 weeks now, have had their greens inside. Your plants are getting bigger. You are now getting ready to transition them to outside life. And so right now it is about, probably at home, it's probably around 65 degrees. And so that is a lot cooler than what they are used to when they're under grow lights all day long. So we have been letting them outside for a few hours every single day, just so they can get used to, you know, the weather. And so when we go to put them in the ground in a couple weeks, they're not just gonna die. It's not gonna be a major transplant shock for them when we plant them outside. And that kind of segues into our garden. Do you wanna talk about that?
So this past year, we had a couple of animals try to get into the garden, kind of tore the fence up.
So disappointing.
One got in and really wreaked havoc. So we're going to be redoing our garden base this year, so that we take hardware cloth, we lay it down at a 90-degree angle to, you know, the ground. And
yeah, like skirt it out.
Skirt the entire garden to try to prevent them from digging in, getting in there.
Yeah, because there is nothing worse than dedicating, you know, 8 to 10 weeks of your life growing, you know, baby seeds and then seedlings and then young immature plants, and then having a rabbit or a squirrel or a groundhog come in and devastate everything. Oh, it is honestly, like, it's heartbreaking. So.
And we could probably make a video of us doing that skirting.
Yeah, we'll do that for you guys.
I'd definitely like to put that skirt out a little bit farther than I think most people do.
Yeah.
But it's just a way that we can combat the issues that we've had with ours.
Yeah. So we actually also skirted our chicken coop. It's so sad. I see so many people posting, you know, in Facebook groups all the time about how animals have gotten into their, you know, into their coops, gotten under their fencing. And really, truly, just by skirting your hardware cloth, you know, when you guys do your chicken coop and your chicken run, you will save yourself so much, you know, devastation and heartbreak by, you know, predators attacking your flock. So that's just something to consider. And we'll definitely put a skirting video out, and we will let you know when that is posted. But we want to thank you so much for listening to our car video today, and we hope you guys have a wonderful week. Take care.